I read an article this past week from a website called sciencenews.org, sciencenews.org, and I was intrigued by the title of this article. It was called, "A Special Brew May Have Calmed Down Inca Children as They Were Headed for Sacrifice." I'm not sure calming would have been the solution there, but you know, we lived in Bolivia in the Andes Mountains for 9 years, and so we lived among the descendants of the Inca Empire. The main people group are called the Quechua. The others are called the Aymara. So centuries ago, the Incas practiced human sacrifice, and that article talked about specifically kids. Today, the Inca descendants that are even in Bolivia, they still practice sacrifices. They just don't practice human ones, but they do them in other ways. For example, during our time in Bolivia, we saw numerous times, it's like a tradition, but what they're doing is they're doing a little sacrifice, a libation offering of pouring something out, like to the Mother Earth goddess. Religions throughout time have done things like that. Sacrifices have been a part of beliefs throughout history. Well, what about Christian sacrifice? That's what we're going to think about this morning. What is the sacrifice or sacrifices of a Christian? So we're going to think about this from three different angles this morning. The first is going to be what we're not to do. What is that? But what we're not to do. Then secondly, we're going to talk about what we are to do. And then lastly, what we might have to do. So what we're not to do, what we are to do, what we might have to do. And sacrifice is important as a topic for any believer in Jesus Christ. And I think that you will see that this morning. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump right in. And we're first going to look at, every once in a while I'll have to turn my head to make sure that I can see that. We're going to jump in and look at what we're not to do. And our first passage is going to be from the book of Ephesians. So Ephesians 5, verse 2, this is the way it reads in the New Century Version. "You are God's children whom he loves. So try to be like him. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God." So this verse has an awesome start to it. It's referring to those who have received the Lord Jesus, referring to them as God's beloved children. Because we're his children, we are to try to be like him. And many Bibles, as I looked at them, use the word imitate. We try to imitate God. We are to be imitators of God. This idea of imitating, when I was growing up, I watched a lot of Warner Brothers cartoons, specifically the like ones with Bugs Bunny. And because of watching those, some of you already know this about me, but I have always loved doing voices and making sound effects. And I would say literally, a day doesn't go by that I'm doing some kind of voice or sound effect. It's just it happens to be more in the office when no one's around or maybe in my house. So because of that, you know, I would make these voices, I would do these sound effects, and naturally when it came then to reading to my three boys as they were growing up, I would use voices, and I would use sound effects. So Vivian is in the midst of leaving North Carolina, where son Timothy and family are, and Tim is the only son right now. We have one on the way from Benjamin and Jalen in Indiana, but in terms of those that are outside the womb, we have the three, and they're in North Carolina, and that's where Vivian's leaving. Well, Tim as a boy heard me making these voices. He heard me making these sound effects, so it kind of cracked me up that now as a dad, he's imitating me. And he's doing the same thing. When he reads to his kids, he's doing voices and sound effects as well. On the depressing side, I have seen plenty of videos. I watch these compilation videos like on YouTube, with little kids, I mean like little kids, barely able to talk kids, swearing. And these little kids probably don't even know what they're saying. They probably don't even know what the words mean. But what they're doing is that they're imitating their parents, right? We are to imitate God. And verse 2 further says that we are to live a life and imitate Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And then towards the end of verse 2, it says that when Christ gave himself for us, that it was a sacrifice to God. When Paul mentions this idea of a sweet smelling or a fragrant aroma, a lot of you know that this is a reference to things back in the Old Testament when they would have these things like animal sacrifices or grain or with incense, and it would have this wonderful aroma. It starts out in the very beginning of that verse, and it makes a reference to love. We're going to come back to that idea of love later on. For right now, the main thing that I want us to see out of this verse is this description of what Christ did as being a sacrifice. We're only going to look at one other place as we talk about this first point. And that's going to come from Hebrews chapter 10. So the writer of Hebrews comments, and he's commenting on Jewish sacrifices that were being taken place at that time. So he's going to compare the Jewish sacrifices that were being done at that time and comparing them to what Christ did. Hebrews 10, 11 and 12. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, referring to Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. So it's awesome that Hebrews 10:12 says that after Jesus ascended, that he sat down at the right hand of God, right? That place of authority next to God the Father. But our focus right now out of that verse is this idea on sacrifice when Jesus offered himself. And it gives this description. It says, one sacrifice for sins for all time. One sacrifice for sins for all time. So when we talk about the Christian's sacrifice, if you compare it with other religions and things like that, we start by talking about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice of himself. And this says that he did it once. Jewish priests sacrificed again and again. And someday, I guess, that's all going to be kind of resurrected, depending on how you look at as we approach the end of time. But right now, they're not doing that. Back then, they did it again and again. But Jesus did it one time, just once. And when he did it, he offered himself on the cross. And it was for sins. So as our Creator, God established the rules of how we could be acceptable to him. And it involves sacrifice. Our sin puts a distance between us and our Creator God. God is absolutely holy. There has to be that distance. But knowing our weakness and knowing our incapability, God had a plan where we could be with him forever. We could never provide what was needed, and so he provided it. Jesus' sacrifice of himself for our wrong words, our wrong actions, our wrong thoughts. This is for anybody who is willing to receive it. And it was for all time. There would never again be a need for that kind of sacrifice because it was perfect. So what are we not to do? This is pretty easy. We are never to try to provide a sacrifice for sin, because Jesus did that perfectly. And this is sometimes when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we say that nothing that we do can take away from what Christ did, nor can we add anything to the sacrifice, to what he offered. So Christ's sacrifice brings to mind that there are all sorts of different ways that we can try to convey the uniqueness of Christianity to others. When we keep this idea of the necessity of Christ's sacrifice, one of the ways that you can share with others the uniqueness of Christianity is a very visual representation of up versus down. And, and I've shown you this before, but you can remember this. The idea is that whatever other religion you can think of is trying to reach up to heaven. It's people trying to do whatever they can do. And some people even do that in a church. They're misled, and they think that they have to do that in a church. But it's not us trying to reach up whatever we can, you know, to stand on the pile of our good deeds. I'm talking to a prisoner right now by letter in Cumberland, the federal prison in Cumberland. It's hard for him to get this out of his head, that he thinks that he can do the things that are basically good and then be okay to God. And other religions, other systems, other philosophies, it all has to do with our human effort and all that we're trying to do to reach up to heaven. But why Christianity is different is because God realizes we can never do that, and so he reaches down from heaven and he provides what we need with Christ when he came down. So that up versus down thing is a way for us to be able to talk about the uniqueness of Christianity. A follower of Christ is to provide sacrifices for sin. Not for sin, but we are to present sacrifices. We're not to do anything that tries to cover our sin by a sacrifice, because what Christ did was what? Perfect. Say it. It was perfect. What Christ did for sin was perfect. So then, if that's the case, what are we to do? What are to be a Christian's sacrifice? When it comes to a Christian's sacrifice, what are we to do? And before we actually look at the what, we're going to look at the why. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Peter says, "You also as living stones," in comparison to Christ as the rock, the stone, "are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." In other words, by means of our relationship with God through his Son, because we have received the Lord Jesus. And when you have those words, "to offer," that is a purpose clause. That indicates purpose. Why are we being built up as a temple? Why are we being built into this holy priesthood? In order to offer spiritual sacrifices. Jesus had said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So the way that we connect to God is our spirit to his spirit. So at their core, when we talk about the sacrifices of a Christian, they are to be spiritual sacrifices. Now, the sacrifices can take a physical form, but that's not really what's important. It's the non-physical thought. It's the non-physical motivation that lies behind that sacrifice. That's really what God is looking at. So we're looking at the idea of purpose. The very purpose of us being made into a spiritual temple, the very purpose of us being priests, a kingdom of priests, is to offer spiritual sacrifices through Christ. That's the why. So now let's go ahead and look at some examples that the New Testament provides of what exactly are those things. What are those spiritual sacrifices that we're to offer unto God? If we head back up to the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. These are two great verses. This is in the Christian Standard Bible, but verses 15 and 16 have a lot to say about Christian sacrifice. The writer says, "Our sacrifice is to keep offering praise to God in the name of Jesus, but don't forget to help others or to share your possessions with them. This too is like offering a sacrifice that pleases God." So the end that this is showing of verse 15 is probably different than your Bible. I don't think too many people have the Christian Standard Bible. With regards to how a bunch of versions vary with that in verse 15, I'll get to that Wednesday night. If you want to come out and hear the explanation of that, come out to the midweek study at 7 p.m. and I'll explain why I think the Christian Standard Bible is getting this absolutely right here. So what is that first sacrifice for the Christian that we see? It is to keep, it is to continually offer praise. I praised God 5 years ago. I don't need to do it now, do I? I mean, wasn't that good enough? No, it's to keep offering praise to God. It's to continually offer praise to God. At the start of, it's ironic that I say this on this Sunday when we're in this room, but at the start of COVID-19, at the pandemic, we had to shut things down for a number of weeks. Later we started back up in here. But most of you know that we just shut things down and we had to worship electronically. I don't know about you, but when it comes to praising God personally, it makes a big difference when I am physically present with other people. Is it that way for you? Okay, it's a lot easier for me when I'm physically present with others at a service. If this is saying to keep offering praise to God, and that is a sacrifice, the idea, this will make you think, the idea of sacrifice means giving something up, right? Old Testament, people give up an animal, they give up some of their grain. The Lord Jesus, he gives up his very life. What is God calling us to give up when we praise him? As I thought about this, I thought to myself, I think he's primarily asking us to give up thinking about ourselves in those moments. You could maybe be thinking about others that you're concerned with too. And at times it is not easy to focus on God, even in the midst of a worship service. And my guess, I'm not going to look at anybody, my guess is that it's even been hard for some of you this morning as well. It's not necessarily an easy thing to give up that thinking about things. One sacrifice is to keep offering praise to God in the name of Jesus. And when it says in the name of Jesus, and this will maybe connect more with the way that your Bible is worded, in the name of Jesus means as a result of having had a confession of faith in Jesus. And then verse 16, we have these other Christian sacrifices, right? We have help others and share what we have. So the Christian Standard Bible has help others in the original language. The word there is literally a compound that means to do good. It means do good. This is a sacrifice that God is pleased by. Do good. But the idea is that it's kind of built in, that it's benefiting others. That's assumed by the author. So what do we give up when we help others? Okay, this is what sacrifice is about. What do we give up when we help others? I think a big one might be time. When you think about our culture and what seems most prized, I think in many ways time is maybe the most highly prized. And so to help others means that you are giving up time of doing things that you might like to do or that you think you need to do. It's a sacrifice of our time. You could do this in prayer. You could do this by helping someone. But it's the idea of giving something up in sacrifice. But God's pleased with that sacrifice. When we think about this idea of sharing as opposed to helping others, that's probably easier for us to understand. How is it that I'm giving something up when I help others by sharing? It's because we're sharing something that we could be using on ourselves, right? Or things that we're interested in. So whether it's money or objects or stuff, just remember that when it comes to what we share, God is less concerned with the actual thing you're sharing than your thoughts and your motivations that are behind that, your attitude. When I brag to others about this congregation, one of the things that I typically say is that it is a generous congregation. So being able to pay with these three offerings that we took for the rug that we now have in our sanctuary. That's evidence of the generosity. Well, this is from people sharing of their finances. If you don't include salvation, which would be the easy thing for everybody to say, if you don't include salvation, what do you think was the most valuable, like monetarily? We're going to be really worldly here. What is the most valuable thing that you have ever been given? I hope it was without strings attached. And I'm also thinking that when we're thinking about what's the most valuable thing that we were ever given, I'm thinking like while a person is alive, not like in their will after they've passed on, because, you know, for a lot of us it might be that. So while this person was alive, what was the most valuable thing that you could think in your mind monetarily that you've been given? I think in our case, when we were on the mission field in Bolivia, another missionary couple gave us a vehicle. They literally gave us a vehicle, and it wasn't some, you know, full of holes, ratty type thing. It was a nice Volkswagen station wagon. We were blown away by that. No strings attached. They just gave us a vehicle. We believe that God wants us to give you this vehicle. When we wrapped up our years in Bolivia, by the way, Vivian and I were absolutely on the same page that since we had been given that free, we would give it away free. So we did. To a Bolivian couple, a Bolivian brother in our case. When we share from our finances, when we share from our stuff, those are sacrifices that please God. And similar to this idea of praise, when we help others and when we share from our stuff, they help us to take the focus off of ourselves, right? Similar to this idea of sharing, especially like monetarily, this idea from the end of this verse is something similar that Paul talks about toward the end of Philippians 4:18. He says, "To the Philippian congregation, I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." So earlier in the chapter, Paul was making reference to his need. And this gift from the Philippians congregation was to help meet a need. So when you think about sharing, this is more of a general reference, just a general reference to the things that we have. But more specifically, we also have this idea of sharing in order to meet a need. And it pleases God. I think a recent example of this, of us sharing in order to meet a need, would be the luncheon that we had, right, for Corey and Christina. Just like I was blown away with being given this vehicle, Becky was blown away with the amount of money that people gave that day. But it was to meet a need for Corey and Christina Friend as they finish up their time in Colombia. Why? Why are we to sacrifice? Because Peter says it's part of the very reason that we're being made into God's temple. It's part of the very reason that we're being made into this holy priesthood. But the greatest summary, I think, of what we're called to as Christians in terms of sacrifice is from well-known Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." So that last part, spiritual service of worship, again, I recognize that varies in different Bibles, and I can explain that at the Wednesday night study, though. But what I want us to see here is that really the greatest sacrifice that a Christian can make, it's to be a living and holy sacrifice. The idea of presenting our bodies, you could paraphrase that and say presenting ourselves. Presenting our lives, presenting ourselves to God. That's really what we're to do. And for most of us, offering ourselves to God as living sacrifices is something that we frankly need to do, I think, from time to time. You know, we could do it at special events. We could do it at a fall conference. We could do it if you happen to attend a revival that you kind of offer your life anew to God. But you certainly don't have to wait for those. This is something that needs to be on us in our minds, that every once in a while, we regularly present our lives to God no matter what. We're going to quickly finish up with this last category of what we might have to do. Might sound a little bit strange, but I think you'll get it as we go along. I'm going to show you some verses, just kind of quickly. You can figure out what connects them. You'll be able to see pretty quickly what they have in common. So first we have talking about Epaphroditus. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 in the NIV, Epaphroditus almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Then next, talking about Prisca, in other words, Priscilla and Aquila, Paul says this, they risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Also from Romans in chapter 16, verse 4. And then Paul says something even about himself. This is from Philippians chapter 2 in the New Living Translation. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. So we talked about this idea out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, about offering our lives. Sometimes people literally sacrifice their lives or are willing to sacrifice their lives in service to others. You know what got me thinking about this topic as we're going through these topics to talk about during the summertime? You know what got me thinking about this whole thing about sacrifice? It was the fact that yesterday was Armed Forces Day and that Sunday coming is Memorial Day. And how over the course of decades, many men and women in the military have given their lives for others and in service to this country. I meant to do this at prayer time. You know, I prayed for those that are in the military and that have been in the military. If you've been in the military, would you mind standing up at this time? Guys and gals have given their lives for others. They've given their lives for this country. And sometimes if you ever attend or listen to a funeral for someone who died while serving in the military, if I remember correctly, I think one of the things that gets quoted most often is from John 15, where Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. Now, in context, we know that Jesus was talking about those following him as his friends, and he was getting to lay down his life at Calvary. Does the New Testament call us to that? I think it calls us to be ready. I think it calls us to be willing. So most people know John 3:16. Along with John 3:16, you can remember 1 John 3:16. This is how it starts out. John says, we know love by this, that he, right, the Lord Jesus, laid down his life for us, to which we say amen. But then John says this, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. So we started out by talking about Ephesians 5, 2, and God's love, right? And we're ending with this concept of love as well. I've often said that when I have studied the word agape of the different kinds of love, when it talks about agape love, what some people say is God's quality of love, that for me, I think agape is composed of two elements. One is commitment, and the other is a willingness to sacrifice. I think it's built into agape love. So when you think of some passages that use agape, husbands are to agape their wives. This is essentially the greatest call of what a husband is to do. In other words, they are to be committed to that woman, and they are to be willing to sacrifice for them. We're also told that we are to agape our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be committed to them. We are to be willing to sacrifice for them. So 1 John 3:16 is talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, but could we not even widen it out even more because we are to agape our neighbor? We are to love our neighbor. And so we should be willing to show love, even be committed to somebody that you may not even know, even be willing to sacrifice for somebody that you don't even know. Might we be willing to sacrifice, do the ultimate sacrifice, even for them? We might. And we don't know what the Lord has for us. We might be called by God to make that ultimate sacrifice for others. I think mostly we're not talking about a death wish here. We're talking about a willingness before God, because that willingness also conveys an idea of deep trust. That if we say we're willing to the Lord, to even if it came down to it, to offer our very lives, that we would be trusting in Him come what may. Here's our main thought for this morning. A follower of Christ is to present sacrifices to God, but not for sin, since Jesus did that perfectly. Connect your sacrifices to loving others. That's that agape connection. Is it possible that we would look differently at helping others? Is it possible that we would look differently at sharing our time, sharing our money, sharing our stuff? Is it possible that we would look at that differently if we saw that it was a tangible way of loving other people and loving God? So this morning, you know, this is not a special conference and this is not a revival meeting, but it is an opportunity for us to tell God, Father, I present my life to you as a living sacrifice, as a holy sacrifice. So I'm going to give each of us a little bit of time to do that very thing, talk to the Lord God, and then I'll close us in prayer. Father, as you conform us to the image of your Son, we know that Peter talks about how suffering is going to be built into that because Jesus suffered. And so you intend that there would be suffering also because there's a certain dependence upon you, looking to you in faith when we're in the midst of that suffering. And I can say for a fact, Lord, as I think of my brothers and sisters here, even some of those who are not, that trials, difficulties, suffering has been a real part of things. But also, Father God, you make it clear that the very reason that we're being made into this holy temple, this holy priesthood, is in order to offer acceptable sacrifices to you. And Lord, we've looked at some of those ways that we can do that. If some of us have been not engaged in praising you, we have different ways of expressing that, Father. I know that's the case. But I pray, Lord God, that we would never get tired of praising and worshiping you, even in song, even in testimony, because you're worthy of that, and that's part of an acceptable sacrifice. And then also this idea of being able to help others, whether they're in need or whether they're not in need, and being willing to share with others our time and our stuff. I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to us about these things, because you're calling us to a life of sacrifice, and we really know that's the case because of how you describe love, the way that you have loved us. You're committed to us. You're willing to sacrifice for us. And you've already sacrificed the greatest by sending your son. And now for us too. We don't know what's ahead. Could it be that you would ask us to sacrifice things, and in some amazing way that we don't understand, it would actually contribute to your glory? And I pray, Father God, that as we think about these things, you'll speak to us, even as we offer ourselves to you anew. In Jesus' name, amen.